Welcome back to the Orange County Economic Development Summit for a conversation on the nexus of local food systems. And now, your host, Aaron Keck.
Thanks for joining us on the Hill as we talk about economic development in Orange County, what has happened, what is happening, and what's in the works and why it matters to you and all of us who live, work, and play in Orange County. Thanks for joining us today as we talk about the importance of economic development here in our community. This hour, we're going to be talking about the nexus of local food systems. The story of economic development is also the story of food, and Orange County has been working to emphasize and encourage agriculture, including growing farms and food-related businesses, through a bunch of different programs, many of which we're going to be covering over the course of the next hour. We're joined here in the studio by five special guests. Barry Jacobs is member of the Orange County Board of Commissioners. Sue Ellsworth is the manager at the Piedmont Food and Agriculture Processing Center, PFAP for short. James Watts is the head merchandiser at Weaver Street Market. Mike Ortosky is the agriculture economic developer for Orange County, and Ashley Hager is the coordinator of the Orange County Food Council. Thanks to all of you for being here in the studio this hour.
Thank you.
So, Barry Jacobs, let me start with you. We're talking about discussing the benefits of local and regional food systems in economic and community development, both of which kind of go hand in hand. Just give us the overview of what Orange County is doing to support the agricultural enterprises. First of all, the ones that are already here. What is Orange County doing to promote them?
Well, we're doing as much as possible. we were ahead of the curve in a lot of ways in having an agricultural economic development specialist, in having the food processing center, and in our lands legacy program, which not only purchases land but purchases conservation easements so that farmers can keep farming. And then we've also had policies as a government to try and buy local before it was fashionable to buy local, and before that everybody was talking about local food economies. And I think that it's a testament to how well it's worked that now it's just considered pro forma, that of course we would do all these things, and of course now we have a food council, we have the Breeze Farm, which teaches people how to be farmers. I think we have a wide range of services and opportunities that make it easier for people to be successful in agriculture, which is a difficult business at the best. Mm-hmm. But if you can help people find markets and find support and try new things as tobacco and other big cash crops go away, then you're more likely to have a vibrant agricultural community. And I would just add that David Price told us when he cut the ceremonial potato to open PFAP in 2011, I believe, that he had one of the few congressional districts that had more farms rather than fewer farms than when he had started.
Okay.
They're getting smaller, but they're more attuned to the market, which is right here in Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
Any job that allows you to cut a ceremonial potato is a good job to have. So we talk about this all the time with Anton Dorrance at UNC Women's Soccer, that UNC Women's Soccer used to be the dominant program and win the national championship every year, and now less so, not because UNC is any worse, but because all of the other schools have gotten better and kind of caught up competitively. I imagine we see a little bit of that with agriculture. If Orange County is ahead of the curve and other counties are now starting to catch up, are we still ahead of the curve as far as being competitive?
We're on the curve. and PFAP, and I'm sure Sue can speak to this, is a four-county effort.
Mm-hmm.
And even though several of the other counties have kind of fallen off in their interest, the fact remains that we look for partnerships. And when you have partnerships, that means you're bringing other people up to speed and you're trying to support them as well. So the inevitable consequence is that they're right there with you.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is to be cooperative. And farmers have probably been better at being cooperative. People throw around the word, for instance, progressives or populists nowadays. And it was the farmers in the late 1800s who were the real populists, mm-hmm. who really tried to band together against corporate interests that were bleeding them dry. And so I think farmers, you know, we have some co-ops still in existence, maybe more in form than in function, but something like PFAP and the way we try and deal with our neighbors is a way to benefit by sharing.
Mm-hmm. Over to Mike Rotosky, who's the agricultural economic developer for Orange County. Tell us about your role. What is the role of the economic developer for agriculture?
Yeah, thank you. I'm actually, number two or three, I think, in this line. I'm the first full-time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm third. Barry reminded me I'm third. So not original.
Yeah.
But the first full-time position, I think, here. And one of the things that intrigued me about it was that the county has been seen as such a leader in North Carolina. And North Carolina is seen as a leader nationally. I go to national conferences. And when you tell them that you're from North Carolina, especially from Orange County, they're very impressed by that. So the fact that the leadership, political leadership, and administration is so supportive of it was intriguing to me. And the way I look at it is, I think Commissioner Dorsen touched on this early on, was that traditional economic development has been about, you know, landing the one big company, and agriculture in the past has been just about increasing corn yields and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But those two are starting to come together now in the local and regional food scene, which these folks can definitely talk about. I think all five components of the food system, being production, processing, distribution, market, and waste, all of those have opportunities for economic development in the area.
So we don't talk about agriculture as much as we talk about the food system, right?
Exactly.
Right, yeah. So what are some of the things that the county does to promote everything along those steps?
Well, and some of these folks can touch on that as well. One of the things we're most proud of is we have both the small business loan and grant program that I think Commissioner Dorsen touched on,
mm-hmm.
but also the ag grant program that I administer. And since the middle of 2015, I believe it is, we've given out about 53 grants up to $10,000 each, totaling about $400,000. That's county money from the quarter cent sales tax. And when you see each of those 53 recipients actually buy or build something that adds directly to their production capability, that's really amazing. That's the thing I think that's most rewarding, is to go out and see that after that grant has been utilized.
And one of the things that the Orange County does is help people with GAP certification. But can you tell us about what that is and what it entails?
Yep, I can. That's an interesting topic. GAP certification is Good Agricultural Practices.
Mm-hmm.
And in North Carolina, to sell into any institution, let's say it's a detention center, a hospital, school system, you have to be GAP certified. For the smaller farmers that are direct to market folks like farmers market CSAs, you're not required to have that. So they don't have to have it, and most would not go to that trouble. And I don't know that I would either. It's a lot of paperwork and so forth. And then a lot of the traditional farmers, the more conventional farmers in the past, some of those are transitioning into food crops, but they haven't had to have it either. So I think Commissioner Jenkins and I both felt like if we had this funding and we were going to pay for everybody to be GAP certified, there would be like a double line at the door, mm-hmm. to do that. But it sort of brought up this sort of dichotomy in the farming world, that farming in the middle, where somebody's growing, instead of 30 vegetables for the farmer's market, they're growing 5 at scale. We do have 2 or 3 of those, and one has become GAP certified. It's Red Hawk Farms here in Orange County. So, you know, sometimes the best of intentions, you learn a little bit more about how the system actually works. So we're trying to build some of that farming in the middle back to where it was before.
There's a lot of different organizations that are involved in promoting the local food system here in Orange County. One of them is the Orange County Food Council, and for that we turn to Ashley Hager, who's sitting over on my far left. Tell us about the role of the Food Council. What do you do from day to day?
So the way I like to describe the Food Council is that we convene, coordinate, and catalyze. So we convene stakeholders, we coordinate efforts, and then we try and catalyze action. We do this all with the mission in mind that we're trying to build a more equitable, sustainable, and then thriving local food system. So Mike touched on the different components of that food system. It can often sort of spread us out, but we exist within a space where we not only have really supportive political leadership and community buy-in, but we have the markets to support it, like Weaver Street. So we are focused in 3 main areas of the food system, which is food access, local food economy, and then food waste.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have been mostly in a phase of exploring the options, so trying to understand where the gaps and opportunities are.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we recognize in our work that while we thought we were going to do something big, like certify all of our farmers and GAP certification and all of a sudden get them into schools in Orange County, is that there are other things that we've not foreseen. And so we're learning throughout that process. We've moved from understanding the gaps and the opportunities in the food system to now trying to move into action. So our local food economy work group is really focused on assessing where are there resources and funding for farmers and agriculture right now, and then how do we reinvest in those farmers? Because as we've noticed over time, and David Price has noticed, that while our farms are growing, they're getting smaller, so their needs are changing. And that goes the same for Weaver Street. As Weaver Street, you know, sort of explores options for how they're going to source local, that changes over time. So we try and be in the middle and facilitate those relationships as well as the policies that help benefit those relationships.
So what are some of the opportunities that you're looking at for the future?
Some of them are in the works.
Okay.
So I don't want to reveal too much, but this is a good time to put in a quick plug that our local food economy group meets monthly and you're welcome to join. It's open to the public. Some of those opportunities are even looking at the county 2030 plan. So there are some topics within that plan that say we want to reinvest into local food. The way we look at that is we need everything along the supply chain. So not just to invest in the producers themselves, but who's supporting the logistics and the distribution, as well as the consumption and the waste. An opportunity we see right now is trying to earmark some funds that have been sort of associated with the agricultural world, and use those funds to be really invested in a targeted way in our farmers, our markets.
Ashley mentioned Weaver Street Market there. Of course, Barry also talked about the importance of cooperation, and all of that is leading to James Watts with Weaver Street Market right now, which is kind of the nexus of a couple of different aspects of that five-part aspect of the food system, not just working with farmers, but also being a retailer and a place that people can go to acquire food directly. So talk about Weaver Street Market in those two terms, as a local retailer, but also working to assist local farmers and helping them as well.
Sure. I think that the two areas that we recognize is that in this area of actually trying to buy food locally and buy from local farms, that we've evolved a lot. Used to be that the way that we interacted with the local farming community is that they showed up at the back door. And we got stuff in bins and baskets and all sorts of things. You never knew what it was going to be. And we were very reactive. And then it became clear that if we were going to do a better job, both as retailers and having what the community needed us to have, but also in having a good plan so that we could actually then execute what the agricultural community needed as well as what our customers needed, we would actually have to go back out to those farmers and say, you know, it's great that you do these things for us now. However, if you're going to have a future working with us, we have to evolve together. So we have to plan a year in advance. We have to have an idea of what you want to grow, how much of it you want to grow, how are we going to work together to make sure that we have the right quality, the right product at the right time, you know, because ultimately there are a lot of options for buying food. And some of these same farmers are selling that food directly to consumers at the farmers markets. And so what we really wanted to emphasize is not that we're in competition with the farmers markets, not that we are trying to beat the local farmers into lower prices, but that we're trying to plan better with the local farmers so that they get more of what they need, consistency and knowing that they have a market for their product, which gives them the confidence to actually put that product in the ground, and that we get more of what we need, which is predictability of source of supply and things like that, which builds for a stronger system. And so what we've seen is that role for Weaver Street has evolved very well, and we've got good contracts and things like that in place. And where we see a need for continued advocacy is in the area of supply chain, cold chain, things like that, where we really need to emphasize what a local food system looks like, some of the things that Ashley was touching on a few minutes ago, so that as we move forward, we really can actually meet more of the needs of this community right here in Orange County, so that they, the farmer knows when it comes out of the ground, they can process it properly, they can get it under refrigeration quickly, and they can be assured that they then know where it's going next, and hopefully it's coming to us.
And Mike, that gets back exactly to what you were talking about the five different points and how they all work together, the producers and the retailers and the consumers and everything in between.
Exactly. It's that supply chain and value chain, and as Ashley touched on, trying to build market and production at the same time. You kind of have to go back and forth between the two. And back to the gap thing, that's my approach to this job has been about trying to create more market and let the farmers decide if they want to do direct sales, if they want to do sort of mid-size, or if they want to do larger. And they can respond, but basically diversify and grow that market for them.
Well, we're talking this hour about what Orange County is doing to promote the local food systems. One of the most exciting things that has happened in the last decade is the development of the Piedmont Food and Agriculture Processing Center, PFAP for short. Sue Ellsworth is here from PFAP, and we are going to talk to her after we take our break. We are here talking about the nexus of local food systems. You are listening to the Orange County Economic Development Summit. Sue Ellsworth is going to be in the spotlight when we come back after this. Thanks for joining us. Back with more when we come back.
Don't miss the hottest mulch sale in town with Orange County's Fall Mulch Madness. Just $15 per 3-cubic-yard scoop, a 40% discount. Come out to the Integrated Solid Waste Management Facility on Eubanks Road. Mulch Madness starts on September 4th and runs through October 31st. Hours are Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. or on Saturdays 8 a.m. to noon. Remember, Mulch Madness is for pickup trucks and trailers only, and bring a tarp to cover your load. Questions? Email recycling@orangecountync.gov.
Manufacturing is an important part of the economy in Orange County. As major employers look for the next great location for their plant or factory, Orange County Economic Development is providing incentives and hands-on support to bring jobs and lower taxes to our community.
I'm Lindsay Eflin from Morinaga America Foods. We manufacture a delicious fruity chewy candy called Hi Chew. Thanks to the temperate year-round weather, helps us maintain stable production, and the huge support we receive from the team at Orange County Economic Development, we decided to build a manufacturing center here in Orange County in 2015. Today, our 100,000 square foot production facility produces over 1.5 million pieces of Hi Chew every day, employing over 130 full-time employees.
Orange County Economic Development is committed to attracting the right major employers to Orange County. See how at growinorangenc.com.
Have you suffered economic loss from Hurricane Florence? Attention Orange County. If your business, home, rental property, or nonprofit was damaged and you've suffered economic loss as a result of Hurricane Florence, you're eligible and encouraged to apply for assistance through the Small Business Administration. The SBA offers low-interest loans to business owners, homeowners, and nonprofits. To apply for disaster assistance, register with FEMA. Go to disasterassistance.gov or call 800-621-FEMA.
Welcome back to the Orange County Economic Development Summit. And now, your host, Aaron Keck.
We're talking about the nexus of local food systems here this hour. Very important part of economic development in Orange County, and something that not just county government, but also a number of other organizations, non-governmental, commercial, and retail have been focusing on developing over the course of the last few years and beyond. One of the most exciting developments, as we mentioned before we took our break, is the development of the Piedmont Food and Agriculture Processing Center, PFAP for short. This was opened in 2011 with the cutting of a ceremonial potato. And Sue Ellsworth is the manager of PFAP, and she is here in the studio as well. So Sue, give us the overview of PFAP. How big is it? How does it work? And how important is it to the people who work there?
Well, Piedmont Food Processing Center is located in Hillsboro. It's a facility that allows a small business to come in and get launched and get into the stores. We have four individual kitchens within the facility. We offer cold, dry, and frozen storage there. We have a loading dock. The facility is open 24 hours a day, so people have access to it whenever they want. It's a great opportunity for a small business to come in and be able to start their business up, because they can come in and utilize our equipment. They don't have to put the funds out to buy a kettle if they need a kettle, for example. We have various products being made there. I think that it has significant economic impact on Orange County. It creates jobs, it brings in revenue, And it also creates the potential for any of these companies to become large-scale companies. We've had several graduates from PFAP that we're quite proud of, and they've become national brands, including Nello's Sauce, Luna Pops Popsicles, and Seal the Seasons, which is a great success here in Orange County.
And it's not just about graduating from the program. I imagine the existence of this place gives people the opportunity to start and sustain businesses that they wouldn't otherwise have been able to start or sustain, right?
It exactly does that. And it also gives people the opportunity to find out if their company isn't going to work before they have to get deeply indebted. We work very closely with regulatory agencies to make sure that people are complying completely. We work with distributors in the area to help them learn how to distribute their products. We work closely with Weaver Street. A lot of the products that are produced at PFAP will start being sold at farmers markets. That's a great place for people to get out, get their product tested with the public, find out whether their product has the potential to become a product available in a store.
How unique is a center like PFAP here in Orange County? I know there are other centers kind of like it in other communities, but how rare is it for a place like Orange County to have something like this now?
I don't know that I can speak to how rare it is. There are quite a few incubators across the country. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that does set PFAP apart is not only is it that you can come in and use our equipment, use our kitchens, but we spend a lot of time with the businesses to try to make sure that they're setting a solid foundation so that they can grow their business in the proper direction. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that they know what it costs to produce their product and that their business can grow and be sustainable as they move along.
For someone just like me who's not working in the food industry directly and just goes to restaurants and mm-hmm. shops and grocery stores, what is the impact of PFAP for someone like me?
Well, I think it would expose you to products that you might not normally be able mm-hmm. to get because they're small, local products. We have one company there that makes an incredible pickle. I believe that she will probably go national, but right now you can find her at various stores in the area. You can find her in different restaurants. Mm-hmm. So you may not even know when you order a sandwich or a hamburger at a restaurant that you're eating her pickles.
What makes it incredible?
It's a refrigerated pickle. It has an incredible taste to it. It's not too sour, not too sweet. I know that she tries to use local products whenever possible, so that's great for the local farmers here. We really try to encourage our folks to work within the community, mm-hmm. to try to buy as many ingredients locally as they can. And we also work with them to make connections so that when they're ready, we can introduce them to James and get their product into a local market.
I want to go back to Barry Jacobs, County Commissioner, because we talk about the importance of a place like PFAP on local businesses that are using it, but the agriculture or the food system is so important to the local economy as well in terms of tax revenue and sustaining other businesses and attracting other businesses that come into a place that's livable because of the food industry that's here. So what is the impact of PFAP on the overall economy in Orange County?
Well, PFAP helps to, as Sue was saying, to keep farmers and small entrepreneurs in business if they decide to pursue certain things that appeal to them mm-hmm. and that also appeal to customers that they want to sell to. And, you know, because it's something that brings people together in a common enterprise. We have 52 or 53 people working in there. You start to develop a community. Mm-hmm. And I think the board of PFAP is trying to work at cultivating that community. And it's not just Orange County people. They're from all over this region. And so that's another benefit of having this kind of facility. It is very unusual to be this well equipped. And actually it was all funded by grants, because people like to give money to multi-county or multi-entity jurisdictions mm-hmm. or facilities. And so, again, it's the reward of partnership.
James Watts, you're with Weaver Street Market. You get to see that community firsthand every day. How important is PFAP for you?
Well, you know, as I was listening to Sue talk, I was just sitting here and writing down how many products that came out of PFAP that actually got their start at Weaver Street Market. And all of the ones that she was talking about all went to Weaver Street Market, and some of them went to Weaver Street Market with a product that really wasn't ready for the market and learned. And that's a valuable piece. And I think that that's certainly something that the processing facility does that is amazingly unique in this area, is that they actually do such a great job of nurturing these companies along and helping them through the bumps that, you know, and knowing that these companies can actually get out there and get the product then on the shelf. And what I've seen is that the evolution is they come to me first with a product that is ready for the market, but just barely. And then you see that I beat them up a little bit about getting their product ready. But and through that learning process, they learn, well, what is it going to be like the next time? And I warn them, as bad as you think this conversation is, when you go to a really big buyer, you have to recognize that it's going to be so much worse. So get ready now. And I've seen them develop their brand. I've seen them develop their packaging. I've seen them improve their products. And then they are able to launch. So they get their sales happening in our stores. And we see local products go from being nowhere to being the category leaders. I mean, that's the other piece of this, is that our customers are really heroes in this process because they embrace these local companies so willingly and really energize these companies with revenue. And then they're able to go out to the larger retailers, both in the region and then eventually to nationally. And Weaver Street Market even benefits then, because when they go to a national distributor, my pricing on their product generally goes down because they've gotten to that scale where they're now working in a completely different range of pricing, and my pricing gets better, which gives me the opportunity to compete with the big chain grocery stores, which is great if you're a little three-store chain that's community-owned.
Speaking with James Watts, you just heard him, Ashley Hager, Mike Rotosky, Sue Ellsworth, and Barry Jacobs. We're talking about the nexus of local food systems here in Orange County. We've been talking about incubating and growing and supporting the businesses and enterprises that are already here. When we come back, we'll talk about attracting new businesses as well, another important component of the local agricultural and food economy here in Orange County. So stay with us for more on that when the Orange County Economic Development Summit continues right here on 97.9 The Hill.
With your community news, I'm Blake Hodge. Early voting is underway in Orange County and across North Carolina starting on Wednesday. New state law sets weekday hours during the early voting period from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at each early voting location, of which there are five in Orange County. All five sites will be open uniform hours under the new law, including 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturdays and 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Sundays during the early voting period. This is the first election cycle where Sunday voting will be allowed in Orange County. Early voting runs through November 3rd. Election Day is November 6th. Early voting locations are consistent with recent elections in Orange County. The Board of Elections Office in Hillsborough, Carbaryl Town Hall, Chapel of the Cross near the UNC campus, the Seymour Center, and the Eflin Ruritan Club. You can find sample ballots for Orange County voters through our website, chapelborough.com. Meanwhile, at the state level, changes made to North Carolina's election board over the last year were unconstitutional, but the board can remain in place through November's elections. That's what a three-judge panel ruled on Tuesday. The 2-1 decision agrees with Democratic Governor Roy Cooper's argument that the Republican-controlled General Assembly went too far in limiting his authority to name the board. However, a proposed amendment to the state constitution that is on the ballot would allow lawmakers to name board members. Cooper twice sued to keep that amendment off the ballot. He won the first time, but after the amendment was rewritten to remove attempts to strip the governor of powers to appoint members of other boards and commissions, the lawsuit was thrown out and the amendment left up to voters to decide. Cooper and Republican lawmakers have been embroiled in litigation and political disputes since Cooper was elected governor in 2016. Lawmakers have passed several bills that eroded Cooper's powers. More information at chapelborough.com. With your community news, I'm Blake Hodge.
agriculture is a vital part of the economy and quality of life. As world leaders address the increasing challenge of feeding the Earth's population, Orange County Economic Development is providing the resources to find solutions.
I'm Kamal Bell, the CEO of Sankofa Farms. I grew up in a food desert where it was really hard to access affordable and nutritious food. Today, there's still a troubling income and food availability gap that exists within minority groups. Sankofa Farms includes the Agricultural Academy, which is a STEM-based program that educates inner-city youth about leadership, discipline, and teamwork through agriculture. Together, we work and learn to create a sustainable food source for minorities in both rural and urban areas of Durham and Orange County. Thanks to the grant from Orange County Economic Development, I'm able to expand what we grow on the farm and teach our students.
Orange County Economic Development is committed to growing agriculture enterprises and food innovation. See how at growinorangenc.com.
Hi, I'm Katie Murray, Director of the Orange County Arts Commission. Did you know that the creative industry is the fourth largest employer in Orange County? Here's two members of our locally grown creative community, Mandolin Orange.
I'm Andrew Marlin.
And I'm Emily France.
Together we have toured the globe, entertaining crowds with our Americana music that started right here in Chapel Hill.
Check out our newest release, Blind Faller, available now from Yep Rock Records. And thanks to the Orange County Arts Commission for supporting our local creators.
Orange County Arts Commission, we are the heart of the arts. Learn more about us at artsorange.org.
I'm Kamal Bell, the CEO of Sankofa Farms.
I'm Keith Norwood, Vice President of the Americas for Armacell.
I'm Wendy Solomon, and I own Flawless Spa Wellness and Image.
I'm Steve Beiser of the Academic Benchmarking Consortium.
I'm Annette Council, owner and founder of Sweet Nisi.
Thank you for tuning in to the Orange County Economic Development Summit, a live radio broadcast from Hillsborough, Orange County. Join the conversation on Twitter with hashtag GrowInOrangeNC.
Welcome back to the Orange County Economic Development Summit for a conversation on the nexus of local food systems. And now, your host, Aaron Keck.
Thanks for joining us here on 97.9 The Hill as part of the Orange County Economic Development Summit. We're talking about a bunch of different aspects and facets of economic development in the overall economy in Orange County. This hour, we're focusing on food systems. And again, we've got Orange County Commissioner Barry Jacobs here in the studio, Mike Ortoski, agricultural economic developer for Orange County, Sue Ellsworth, who's the manager of PFAP, the Piedmont Food and Agricultural Processing Center, James Watts, head merchandiser for Weaver Street Market, and Ashley Hager, who's the coordinator for the Orange County Food Council. And during the break, we were actually talking about some of the things that are associated with PFAP that we hadn't actually gotten a chance to talk about yet. So, Sue, I want to turn the microphone back to you to talk about the WE Project, which is a really exciting program that PFAP is doing.
I think the WE Power Project is really a phenomenal project that PFAP has undertaken. I've been a client of PFAP prior to being an employee, so I've been in the building for 6-7 years now, and I had recognized that many women were starting businesses and they were quite successful, but for various reasons, they were walking away from their businesses. And as women, we can sit around and we can talk about all the different reasons why women walk away from their businesses, and men can surely rattle them off as quickly too. But what we are trying to do now is to develop a program that will empower female food entrepreneurs to be more successful with their businesses. And we are in the process of developing a resource guide. And I want to point out that Ashley Hager works very closely on this project with me as well. We are developing a resource guide that we can take to the other incubators across the state of North Carolina and work with their executive management teams to help them implement programs within their own facilities to help empower female food entrepreneurs. There's a lot of places where you can go to get assistance to develop a business plan, but there's not a lot of places where you can get help to develop a business plan for a food company. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that we're tapping into resources that are already available out in the community. We're not trying to reinvent anything, but we want to put an emphasis on food production and female entrepreneurs.
Ashley, over to you. How important has this already become?
This is a really important part of the food system. So these are entrepreneurs and sometimes farmers as well. But what Sue and PFAP were able to notice is that compared to their male peers at PFAP, they were just female food entrepreneurs were just leaving their business overnight. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't a reason that they could understand in food business this was happening. So WePower is now trying to be more surgical and targeted in its approach. So we have all of these great centers around the county and around the U.S. So you've got the Small Business Association, the Women's Business Center in Durham, but they're not as focused on the special needs of small food businesses. Mm-hmm. And PFAP does that really well. And now they're layering on what their female entrepreneurs need.
Awesome. Speaking with Sue Ellsworth, Ashley Hager, James Watts, Mike Rotowski, Barry Jacobs, all here in the studio to talk about the many, many different facets of the local food system. And we've been talking about incubating and growing and supporting the businesses that are already here. But I want to shift a little bit and talk about attracting new businesses to come into Orange County. And for that, I want to turn first to Mike Rotowski, who's the economic developer for agriculture here in Orange County. What does Orange County do to recruit businesses into the area?
We work very closely with the NC Economic Development Partnership, which was incubated out of the Department of Commerce a couple of years ago. And they have one individual whose sole purpose it is to try to create and attract food processing and manufacturing businesses. And we actually get quite a few visits. Some of those are large international firms. Others, fewer, but select Orange County because of the culture here. Where we're trying to work now, one of the impediments is that you need to have sites ready to go. The food business, like a lot of businesses, is changing so quickly now. They have to have a place and an answer very quickly. So we're trying to be more proactive at this point about arranging for sites to be ready to go through the entitlement process and be shovel ready or pad ready, as they say. So that we can say, will this be ready in 9 months or a year? We can say yes. But we do get quite a number of visits because we have a story here. This part of the state, along with, say, Asheville, for instance, this part of the triangle is very attractive to a lot of folks. Occasionally, we'll get somebody come in and they're free trade and organic companies and they want to bring 100 people and so forth. But we have to be ready for them and be able to kind of compete for those what we think of as appropriate food businesses for Orange County.
For businesses that are looking to relocate and they're looking at Orange County, how important is it to have that space ready that they need? And how important is it just to have a community that's desirable and attractive just in general?
It's both. On the kind of the right brain creative side, it's really important to have that community that's attractive and welcoming and people want to come here. And they especially in the food system in the past 10 or 20 years, the idea of having the right story out there. People want to know that story about where their food comes from. Orange County is a perfect place for that. On the hard left brain side of having that site ready to go and all of the permits in place and being able to hold that sign and say, we're ready for you, that's what we're working on currently.
Ashley Hager, you're nodding your head there. And I know we were talking during the break about a farmer who is also looking for space to develop his own product over and above just growing the product in the first place, right?
So this came out of the conversation that Sue was talking about, Piedmont Food Processing Center, and how they may not be special because there are incubators everywhere, but what they do well and what is special about PFAP is that they provide a space for farmers to be able to do value-added work as well. Mm-hmm. So John is someone who is growing peppers, and he's a second-generation farmer, I believe. Hopefully, if he's listening, he doesn't feel bad if I got that wrong. But so John was growing peppers, and he's doing direct-to-market sales like at the farmer's market, and that's great. But then he realized that he wanted to start making a pepper sauce. And coming into PFAP not only gave him the facilities to do that, but then the support from Sue to be able to say, well, here's what your labeling needs to look like. Here are the things you need to do before you can get into Weaver Street. So that's a really special space to be operating in to enable farmers to do a bit more with their products.
So we're going to go to Sue Ellsworth and James Watts, because you work directly with a lot of different local businesses, farmers, food producers, and more. How effective a job is Orange County doing in terms of being an attractive place for either businesses to grow or to, in this case, relocate? James Watts?
I won't speak very much to relocate, but I can certainly tell you that the businesses that have really tried to focus back in on the local food system have been amazingly popular and durable. I mean, you know, people don't think about it this way because they're such an institution, but if you look at a outfit like Mapleview Farm, milk and ice cream, I mean, look, there are very few dairy farms left in Orange County. And if you are going to stay in business in that kind of a hard, hard atmosphere, you had better innovate. And so on-farm bottling, actually adding value by making your own ice cream, those are the sorts of things that make the difference, right? And so what we've seen is that there are a lot of farmers out there, or a lot of aspiring farmers, that see an opportunity. The land is available, and then they have to develop a business plan. What am I going to do with that? Obviously, you notice that we pass the mic back and forth a lot during these conversations, and that because no one of us can do it on our own. It takes all of us together working in concert to actually make these things come to pass. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really proud of the fact that Weaver Street Market is both a direct beneficiary of the local agricultural system, but we also get to sit at the table when it comes to things like awarding these ag grants. You know, it really matters that we can say, oh, these people have a great idea, and if we can help them, and knowing that Orange County is here with a program like that, that is going to put money into a business enterprise in order to give them that leg up and actually be able to address the needs of the market so they can actually make this economy better. It may not be kind of, it's not big economic development, but it's vital economic development because it all happens inside the county, and what happens here stays here in that way.
Just like Vegas, right?
Just like that.
Well, you mentioned Mapleview Farms, and I mean, that really speaks to the interconnectedness, not just of the food economy, but also just the economy in general, because I'm always, we're going to be talking about tourism coming up in our next hour, and I'm always surprised for 2 seconds and then realize how intuitive it is that Mapleview Farms is such an important component of tourism in Orange County. People mm-hmm. come in here and drive to Mapleview for ice cream. So, yeah. Like, all of that put together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sue Ellsworth, same question to you. You work with a bunch of local businesses. What needs to be here, or are we already in the place where everything is in place to have the infrastructure and the materials and the space and everything that's needed for food-related businesses to grow and thrive and come to Orange County in the first place?
Well, I think Piedmont Food is in a unique position where we are working directly with the folks who produce food, so we are listening to what their needs are, and those needs are constantly changing. We have a woman who makes an incredible hand-cut, handmade, hand-dipped caramel, and she was literally having an employee stand at a stovetop for 2 hours to make a batch of caramel. And we were really fortunate to be able to apply for a USDA Rural Business Development Grant and go out and buy a Fire Mixer 1400, which automatically will make the caramel for her. So you don't have to have an employee stand there. You don't have to risk having an employee get carpal tunnel syndrome or anything like that. And it allows her to grow her business and move ahead. We have recognized that we have a lot of folks at PFAP right now who need a bottling line. So we are in the process of developing and installing a bottling line. I feel like PFAP is constantly trying to grow and change and adapt to what the local food producers need. As far as infrastructure and things like that, I think one of the biggest hindrances for local food producers is the ability to distribute their products across the state mm-hmm. and across the country.
Mm-hmm. I love how, and this really speaks to the importance of PFAP. Every single time you talk about PFAP, it's another awesome business that you had mentioned before.
Thank
but
you.
This is a great business. This is a great business. Now I want pickles and caramel and Luna Pops all at the same time. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and wrap up our discussion of the nexus of local food systems and talk about next steps that Orange County is taking and can take to continue to grow the local food economy. That's on the way after this. You're listening to the Orange County Economic Development Summit right here on 97.9 The Hill.
The Orange County Solid Waste Management Department is offering two free shred-a-thons in cooperation with University Place and local law enforcement. Both events are from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The first is Thursday, October 25th at University Place with park and walk-up service. The second is Saturday, October 27th at the Hampton Point Recycling Site behind Home Depot in Hillsboro with drive-through service. Each participant is limited to 4 bags or boxes of confidential paper. Shred-a-thon is for Orange County residents and small businesses only. Call 919-968-2788 for more information.
Local food entrepreneurs are a vital part of the economy and quality of life in Orange County. As tastes and trends evolve, Orange County Economic Development is providing culinary experts with the resources to find solutions to grow their business.
I'm Annette Council, owner and founder of Sweet Niecy. Thanks to my mama, on Sunday afternoons, we ate some of the best made-from-scratch cakes ever. It was an enriching experience, not just for the taste, but for the family memories it created. This inspired me to create a basic cake batter for home cooks, making scratch-made cakes delicious and without all the fuss. Fortunately, Orange County Economic Development had the perfect grant for me. I'm able to process and package my mixes at Piedmont Food and Agriculture Processing Center, and my website, sweetniecy.com, looks amazing.
Orange County Economic Development is committed to growing small businesses. See how at growinorangenc.com.
Have you suffered economic loss from Hurricane Florence? Attention, Orange County. If your business, home, rental property, or nonprofit was damaged and you've suffered economic loss as a result of Hurricane Florence, you're eligible and encouraged to apply for assistance through the Small Business Administration. The SBA offers low-interest loans to business owners, homeowners, and nonprofits. To apply for disaster assistance, register with FEMA. Go to disasterassistance.gov or call 800-621-FEMA.
Welcome back to the Orange County Economic Development Summit. And now, your host, Aaron Keck.
Wrapping up our conversation this hour on the nexus of local food systems and the importance of agriculture and the food economy on economic development in Orange County overall. We've been talking about a bunch of different facets of it, but again, we've got Barry Jacobs, Mike Ortoski, James Watts, Sue Ellsworth, and Ashley Hager here in the studio. And during the break, County Commissioner Barry Jacobs was talking about just getting back to the importance of farming specifically when it comes to the food economy and the land that's used for farming and agriculture, which is still a significant portion of the geography of Orange County.
Right, and probably for the last 20 years, Orange County was one of the first counties in North Carolina to recognize that in an urbanizing community, you're going to lose the prime farmland unless you do something different than just allow sprawl. We just had a celebration of the joint planning agreement in the rural buffer, which was 30 years. Maple View is in the rural buffer. If you're in an area where other people are farming, then services will exist in your community that can help you keep your tractor going, that can, you know, sell you seed. There's also something to be said for the ethic of people who work the land. And the more that you keep that alive, the more that you can foster things that grow. You know, we're all talking about growing stuff. That's what farmers do. And we want them to be on board with the rest of the community, not feel like urban people are their enemies or want to just drive out in the country and admire their land but not do anything to help them keep it. And so just like we're talking about all these interconnections, the interconnection between the land in the urban and the rural areas and the people who live in the urban areas is ultimately comes down to the food industry, the restaurants and the markets, but it's also an attitude that we're all in this together. And Orange County's done a good job. We've purchased almost 2,000 acres of conservation easements on farms. We have a great voluntary ag district program. All these things that are aimed at trying to get either get people involved in working the land or keep them involved working the land or make it different. And other counties have learned that from us, the other partners in PFAP. Chatham was already doing it. Durham was losing it, and Alamance hadn't even recognized it. So those are all good things to be doing.
So finally, what are the steps Orange County can continue to take down the road to ensure that agriculture remains viable as an economic driver here?
Well, I think one thing is to continue to buy conservation easements. It's literally having your cake and eating it too, because you get money to keep doing what you're doing, and then you can recapitalize your business. And if it's still possible to do it, then you can try new things. I also think that intelligent land use planning that keeps the urbanized areas from bleeding out and taking over what is the prime farmland. Nationally, the prime farmland is closest to the urban areas because there used to be a market. And so they just would take it into town and sell it. And it's the same way now. That's where the subdivisions go now. So you have to be careful. You have to make sure that you don't let it bleed out. It's actually farms use less in tax revenue than they provide, than we provide. So I think if you're just thoughtful and supportive, which we have been and we can continue to be, then all these other things, more and more people get involved who are enthusiastic. They see the possibilities. And you see, I don't know if it's a geometric or arithmetic progression, but there's definitely a progression going on in Orange County that is very gratifying.
And finally, I want to wrap up with Mike Rutosky. We've talked about a lot in this hour, but I know we're just scratching the surface. Anything that that has come up in your mind in the last hour that people ought to know about in terms of what's going on or what's on the docket for agricultural economic development in Orange County?
I mentioned briefly there was a couple of folks I talked to just today that called, as a typical day, called in the office. One group's looking to do a dairy co-op that could source regionally, kind of like James talking about, and redistribute regionally. And then another individual was a five-generation landowner that's looking to diversify their operations into agritourism. We mentioned agritourism a minute ago. I know that Orange County was the original county to have the NC Visit NC Farms app, and people can go to the app store and get that, and it basically shows where farms are, where events are, where you pick, and that sort of thing. So there's a number of things beyond the production, and as Commissioner Jacobs mentioned, the voluntary ag districts and conservation easements that, as he said, that are growing the awareness of that. Of what's out there. And I think the Orange County's done a great job at sort of helping dissolve that rural-urban divide that you hear so much about in the U.S. nowadays.
When we talk about Grow in Orange NC as the kind of the hashtag for economic development in Orange County, we think about growing businesses, but that's growing products as
well. Relationships, too.
Absolutely. Again, talking about the nexus of local food systems, great conversation. There's much more to say, but we've got to start wrapping up. Again, Barry Jacobs, Mike Rutosky, James Watts, Sue Ellsworth, Ashley Hager, thank you all so much for being here with us in the studio today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, growinorangenc.com for more information about Orange County economic development in general, not just the food systems, but economic development overall. That wraps up our conversation about the nexus of local food systems, but the conversation is going to continue as we get into our next hour. We'll be talking about tourism in Orange County and then economic development as it relates to the arts in Orange County. Later on, we'll talk about developing the workforce, recruiting, retaining, and expanding existing businesses, local businesses, and bringing businesses in from the outside. So stay with us for the next couple of hours beyond this, because the Orange County Economic Development Summit will continue with a lot more to say. We're going to head to a break now, but we'll be back with much, much more from the Orange County Economic Development Summit, brought to you by Orange County Government and the Board of Commissioners after this.
You've been listening to the Orange County Economic Development Summit, an exclusive radio presentation on 97.9 The Hill, WCHL, made possible by Orange County Government and the Board of Commissioners. Follow the conversation on Twitter with hashtag GrowInOrangeNC. The summit continues right after this.